To you, dear loved ones in the Lord, God's grace and mercy and peace be multiplied. In Jesus' name, amen. We meditate today on verses from Revelation chapter 12. It's verses 7 through 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, our champion, our Savior, dearly loved brothers and sisters of Christ. One of my greatest sadnesses as a pastor is to see how many people are losing in the good fight of faith. Some of them or young people in our congregation, or others that went through catechism class, or went through my Bible information class as adults, and stood before the altar of God Almighty, and promised to be faithful to our faithful God even in the face of death. But life is good. America is such a sweet place to live. When the body's strong and the health is good and there's enough toys for the boys and girls to keep themselves occupied, everything else is more important than the good fight of faith. Who needs that if all those theologians and all those seminaries throughout the world are right and there is no place like hell? And you know why their lives are so good? Because the devil's got them already. He doesn't care how he gets them there. And he's just fine with people going happily on their way to hell. Sometimes my sadness goes the other way. And people are losing in the good fight of faith, because they're like sheep that wandered away from the good shepherd. They're those cast sheep that walk the same path and load up on their back and their wool with all the crud of life. They're drinking from the mud puddles where the parasites are of secular humanism. They're eating the weeds of false teaching in churches that just tell people what they want to hear. And we have members who should know better, that are willing to walk away from God's word and its truth and purity for the sake of a family member that maybe will just get mad if they're not there. And the good fight of faith that needs to be fought in my heart and yours, in your family, among your relatives, among your neighbors, the good fight of faith. They give up. Or they grow lax and complacent, and it isn't too long before this old evil foe, like a roaring lion looking for those stragglers, will finally take them down. And I pray God not to make it easy on those who wander away, not to let Satan make them so complacent. Because, dear friends, I want a phone call. I pray God for that phone call when somebody or emails me or says, Pastor, I got to talk with you. And finally, they're feeling it because they're away from their Savior. And I praise God when someone says, Pastor, I need help. Because no matter how far you've wandered away, God wants you back. Satan wants everyone in hell. God wants everyone in heaven. And he proved it when he died on the cross for all. And when people call me up under those circumstances, I praise God that they've got my number, because it won't be too long to just hear the sweet name of Jesus, to get into the Psalms or whatever will help you in the Scripture. I can see the difference. And the Lord Jesus picks his sheep up and cradles them in his arms, gets them strong again in his word, back on their feet, so they can fight the good fight of faith. Because God wants you. God wants you to win. So he gave us this last book of the Bible. It's the one that one of our professors told us not to have in Bible class until we were pastors for about 20 years. But it's the first one people ask, can we study Revelation, if you ask them, what should we study in Bible class? Revelation is literally an apocalypse. It's fantastic imagery, like Ezekiel and Zechariah, some of those Old Testament prophets. It was a type of literature, a genre of literature, that was around from about 200 B.C. to A.D. 200, and it was a way of teaching spiritual truths with fantastic pictures. So the Holy Spirit gave this last book of the Bible, the last of 66 books, and the opening verses say, the revelation or apocalypse of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known. Literally, he symbolized it. The second verse, that's the first verse yet, is telling us that Revelation is symbolic imagery. If people ask me, do you take the Bible literally? I say, yeah, when it says to. But when it says to take it figuratively, I take it figuratively. Revelation is one of those cases. It says, take it figuratively. Just too bad the English doesn't reflect that Greek very well. But when it says he made it known, it's semion is the Greek. He symbolized it by sending his angel to his servant John, the apostle whom Jesus loved, who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. We don't have much longer, maybe not even the rest of this day, to fight the good fight of faith. Do not grow weary in doing good, because the Lord promises at the proper time we will all reap a harvest if we do not give up. God is on your side. Your champion, Jesus, is fighting for you. And Revelation is a book that gives us the greatest pictures of Jesus the champion and Jesus the Lamb. It's like God's camera pointing down on this earth, where we see all this awful stuff going on in our country and in the world and in churches, wandering away from God's truth. And then the camera goes up to heaven and you see Christ and the angels and the saints in glory, and then back down to this earth. This is what... it's hard with your emotions to take this as you're reading it, but he says, read it. Take it to heart. Learn the lessons that we can from Revelation, because the time is near. So I, John, he writes, I, John, the apostle, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. John was that disciple that Jesus loved, and when he reinstated Peter on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he made it clear to the disciples that John would die a natural death. The rest would be martyred. According to Christian tradition, this may or may not be true because it's not in the Bible, but according to tradition, the Roman authorities tried to kill John before this. As the story goes, they threw him into a cauldron of burning oil. And he lived. And the guards were so impressed that they couldn't kill him. They converted and became Christians. We don't know if that's true, but this part is. The Bible tells us that he was exiled. He did suffer when they took him away from his congregation, a ways out into the Aegean Sea to an island desolate, and made him stay there while his congregation was being persecuted back in the city of Ephesus. But on a Sunday, God gave him this revelation. The revelation is really seven visions that all are covering the New Testament era, the time you and I are living in, between the first and second coming of Jesus Christ. That's why it hits so close to home. This sounds familiar. Except in our text, these opening verses, on the Sunday, John writes, there was war in heaven. More literally, you might say, there was war in the sky. He looks up, and the skies over the island of Patmos are all alive because God gave him in the Spirit this ability to see beyond the veil, to see spiritual things. He sees Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But the dragon was not strong enough, and they lost their place in the sky. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled down to the earth, and his angels with him. At first, when you read this, you might think this is when Satan was thrown out of heaven. In the beginning. Because you know, all things were created by God, the Bible says, in 6 days, things on earth and things in heaven. So the angels were all created holy during that 6-day period. We don't know which day because the scriptures don't tell us. But they were all created holy, and the Bible does tell us that Satan rebelled. The brother of Jesus, Jude, in Jude verse 6 says, the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their own home, these he kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. Chains that would hold a spirit, not a body, but a spirit like Satan and the demons, would be the word of God. They're chained as long as God's word is preached, because that's the power of God that he's put in that word. So early on, the Bible tells us Satan rebelled. He didn't believe God's word that God is the creator. Satan and the demons would rather have a big bang, blow it all up in God's face, have people believe there is no God, there is no judgment, everything happened by chance, because then he's got them. Then they'll go happily to hell. There was that rebellion. I'm convinced again this week studying this that what John is talking about here is a different battle. This has to do with when Jesus died and rose again. And Jesus talks like this in the Gospels. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Remember that? There are places where it talks about Satan falling out of heaven, but connecting it with when Jesus died and rose again. The song that follows this too, that we'll read in a minute, is a song that's sung about the redemption of Jesus Christ. So it's a battle that took place where Satan the dragon is trying to beat Michael and the angels. Michael is one of two angels in the Bible who is mentioned by name. The other is Gabriel. God-fearing theologians go back and forth on whether Michael is actually Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, the champion of God. There are things that seem to lead that way, or the archangel. I'm convinced that this is a created angel. In Daniel, it talks about, the speaker is talking about Michael coming and helping him against these foreign powers of the earth. And I believe that fits this better here. This archangel Michael, leading the Lord's forces, goes up against Satan, and Satan doesn't have the power. He loses his place. You could translate the same Greek word as the sky. He's thrown down to this earth. It's like Michael and the angels gave him a bloody nose that just won't quit. Broke all his wings so now he can't fly. Pounded him down to this earth so hard that he'll never get up again. At least not get up off the earth. There was war in heaven. There was war in the sky. And Satan lost. And saints rejoice. There are times when you can feel God's word is true, where the Lord warns through Peter that Satan, like a roaring lion, prowls around looking for someone to devour. There's times when you can feel that. And the Lord tells us, recognize the victory. Satan is vicious because he knows he's lost. His time is short. But you have weapons. Weapons that Jesus used when he fought the devil in the desert and kept on saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written." But you, dear friends, first need to know that when Satan fought, Satan lost. You've probably heard stories of wars that ended and not all the soldiers knew. You know, if you're on the winning side, even if you weren't in combat, you want to know that your guys won. Otherwise, the terror just goes on, the fear and the anxiety. You know, movies, you've probably seen some of those where soldiers fight on until the word gets to them, wait, peace has been declared. As long as that peace was won by your side, everything's fine. And so John writes, "I heard a loud voice in heaven," so that everyone will hear this. A loud voice, we would say, in the sky, above Patmos. "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ." Does that sound familiar? Echoes in our liturgy. It's one of the reasons why, even if the sermon is bad, the liturgy and the hymns can pick you up and give you God's word and law and gospel. Oh, before we receive Christ's body and blood, the pastor says, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever." Words out of Revelation. When the camera's up in the sky. And you, dear friends, are the winners of God because Christ is your champion. And you have his victory by faith. So Paul writes in that great chapter of victory, Romans chapter 8, "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Because he said a little while ago, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. I would invite you to remember this next time you don't know what to pray. I don't know about you, but I get so distressed sometimes, I don't know what it's about. I can't go to God and say, "Here's the problem, here's my suggestion for a solution," because I don't even know what to say the problem is. All I can do is go to God with my griefs and my cares and know that my Heavenly Father is glad to have me come. Just like a child in your arms, the child doesn't have to figure it out. You're glad to do that as a loving parent. Likewise, our Heavenly Father, when all we can do is groan and sigh, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. He knows the mind of the Spirit of God because He is the Spirit. He knows God. He knows your spirit. He can put into words what you and I cannot express. And so that accuser who accuses the saints day and night before the throne of God loses out. Now, you know how this works because you've seen it in the book of Job. Remember when Job twice was accusing, or Satan twice accusing Job in the throne room of God? I don't know all about how that works, but that's pretty scary, isn't it? The devil is like the most corrupt prosecuting attorney that you can imagine. Imagine a prosecuting attorney who would go out and try to get people to commit crimes, gather up all the evidence he could, and then go and try to have them convicted. That's almost as bad as Satan. Because Satan can also twist things so that in our minds, what is disrespectful and disgusting to God can look like something good and pleasurable to us. And you see our society falling for this, and you know the feeling when sin looks so harmless, as it did to King David, his adultery and murder. It looked so harmless. But then after Satan has gotten you to commit that sin, then he wants to rush into God's courtroom and accuse you of what he got you to do. But the answer is always the same. These Christians under persecution, it says, overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Because who will lay any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. He washed the sins away. Satan can accuse all he wants. But you're baptized. That hymn we're going to sing right after the offering, I'm baptized. That's the mercy and grace of God and His name on me. And these Christians did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They were not willing to renounce the name of Jesus and worship the emperor no matter what the Roman government said they had to do. They were willing to die for the sake of the testimony of Jesus Christ that He is the true Lord and Savior and none other. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. All the angels rejoice. And every time you come back as a repentant sinner, just think about those angels that party down in heaven, party down up in heaven. Because Jesus says every sinner who repents makes them rejoice in heaven. They are so glad to see you back, admitting your sin, confessing it to Jesus, receiving His forgiveness, and moving on to fight the good fight of faith. So rejoice. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Doesn't know exactly when it'll be, but he heard those signs that Jesus said too. And he knows his Bible better than most Christians do. And he knows that all the signs have been fulfilled and that Jesus could come back anytime. That last trumpet sounds and his time is done. He can't make people miserable anymore or see how he can dishonor God by dragging people into hell. But you, my dear friends, you and I, we've been warned. And there's such blessing in that when God gives the warning. And another brother of Jesus, James, says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the way Jesus did when he said, get behind me, Satan. Worship God and him alone. You can fight back with it is written. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. You swing the sword every time you think about as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Every time you hear Jesus say it to you as He said to that paralytic, be of good cheer, Don't feel bad about that anymore. Your sins are all forgiven. Fight the good fight of faith. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. People of God, in Jesus' name, amen. Please rise.